Un par de preguntas para Michael Klarman. Él es jurista, profesor de Derecho de Harvard. Trabajó con Justice Ginsburg. El tema, la confirmación de la juez Ketanji Brown Jackson en la Corte Suprema de Justicia. Y esa es la primera pregunta, Ana. ¿Cómo observa nuestro invitado, pues, esta confirmación?
Good morning, Mr. Klarman. Thank you very much for your time today at W Radio. Professor, we want to begin this interview by asking you about your input. What are your comments in terms of the confirmation process for Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson?
Well, thank you very much for having me this morning. I'm not sure that Supreme Court confirmation hearings serve much of a function anymore. For the last 30 or 40 years, basically, the justices or the nominees have been asked questions about their judicial philosophy. Often the underlying motive is to get at the question of what they think about Roe versus Wade or other recent decisions. And the nominees have been instructed to say as little as possible. And basically, then they are confirmed so long as there's nothing in their background that's especially provocative. If there's no useful information that's conveyed anymore. These hearings in particular have, I think, just been an embarrassment to the Senate because they're not even asking, or at least several of the Republican senators who will vote against her confirmation are not even asking questions about her judicial philosophy or trying to get how she would rule in particular cases. They're simply trying to score political points by reminding viewers of what they don't like about the Democratic Party, and in the process, essentially smearing the nominee. So the questions are about whether she supports terrorism because she defended alleged terrorists in Guantanamo Bay, or whether she's a supporter of child pornography, or whether she's a believer in critical race theory. These are just previews of what elections in the United States will look like in the next few years. They have nothing to do with Ketanji Brown Jackson. They're simply a handful of Republican senators who are aspiring to run for president and trying to appeal to the far right base of the party.
Nos dice que este interrogatorio es una absoluta vergüenza porque no tiene nada que ver con conocer a la juez Ketanji Brown Jackson y saber un poco más sobre cómo actuaría en ciertos casos y conocer su filosofía judicial como se hacía anteriormente. Nos dice que esto es un reflejo de lo que va a ser las elecciones porque lo que se ve son republicanos que quieren ser presidentes y cuestionando a la juez. Entonces nos dice que muy poco se deja ver este interrogatorio sobre lo que sería y lo que va a hacer la jueza Ketanji Brown Jackson en la Corte Suprema.
Precisamente con respecto a eso, ¿él no cree que estos ataques que recibe la juez en esta audiencia de confirmación hace que más bien los estadounidenses desconfíen del Poder Judicial?
Precisely on this subject that you're mentioning, don't you believe that these attacks that the judge is receiving during the confirmation hearings, to an extent, are only causing that the regular U.S. citizen doesn't trust the judiciary process in the United States?
I don't know what the average American citizen thinks about the judicial process. It's certainly true that there's a perception that the Supreme Court has become overly politicized in recent years. But the Supreme Court's always been a political institution dating back all the way to the origins of the country and the early years of the John Marshall Court. The Supreme Court was deciding controversial questions. They just happened to be on a different set of issues. So today the issues might be abortion or affirmative action or gun control. And 200 years ago, the issues were more about the scope of property rights or the scope of the federal government's power. It's almost inevitable that Supreme Court decisions that are interpreting an open-ended document like the Constitution on a series of highly contested political issues are going to be rendering political decisions. I think maybe that's become more apparent to Americans in the last 50 years because the court's been taking a broader swath of issues within its jurisdiction. And then in the last really 5 or 6 years, after Senator McConnell refused to allow a vote on Merrick Garland, which would have enabled Democrats really to win control of the Supreme Court for the first time in 50 years, there's certainly a perception on the left of the political spectrum that the Supreme Court's been unjustly packed. And I think we see a Supreme Court today that is very much in the pocket of the Republican Party. So it's natural that there would be a perception by many citizens that it's now a political rather than a judicial body.
Bueno, nos dice que no sabe qué piensa el promedio de la gente sobre el proceso judicial en los Estados Unidos, pero sí cree que la percepción en general es que la Corte Suprema se ha politizado, pero siempre ha sido una institución política, solo que ahora abarca una variedad de temas mucho más amplia que antes. La Corte Suprema siempre ha decidido, digamos, estas cuestiones importantes, pero ahora los problemas son diferentes. Ahora el problema es sobre la posesión de armas, o deciden sobre temas como la posesión de armas, el aborto, antes era sobre la propiedad privada, el poder del gobierno federal. Entonces, si bien siempre se han decidido temas políticos, ahora se hace más evidentes por la variedad y la gama de temas por los que tienen que escoger, que son mucho más amplios dentro de su jurisdicción. Nos dice que desde hace 5 o 6 años la percepción que hay es que la Corte está pactada y que la tiene en su bolsillo el Partido Republicano y que es más un instrumento político que judicial.
Eso, antes las audiencias de confirmación, pues como se dice, era la revisión de las hojas de vida, de posiciones y todo lo más, pero al final las votaciones solían ser bipartidistas, no necesariamente con una mayoría absoluta, pero bipartidistas. Hoy parece que se elige de manera absolutamente partidista y que esta nueva nominación va a estar muy cercana, muy cerrada. ¿Eso no le hace mucho daño a precisamente la confianza en la Corte Suprema?
Back then, when you were speaking about when hearings were held, you know, to discuss the resume of the judge, what they have done, their political views on certain areas, when the vote came, the vote could be bipartisan. I mean, it wasn't specifically, I mean, if the judge is being nominated by a Democratic president, all the Democrats were going to say yes and all the Republicans were going to say no. We would see a lot of bipartisan votes. Nowadays, it kind of seems like it's just like that. People vote because of the party and which party the president belongs to. Don't you believe that precisely that it's what's it's damaging the image of the judiciary process?
I think that's absolutely right. It's only in the last 30 years that things have become as polarized with regard to Supreme Court confirmation hearings as they are today. Justice Scalia was confirmed unanimously in 1986. Justice Ginsburg was confirmed with only 3 negative votes in 1993. But this is just a reflection of the extreme polarization of our politics. If you go back 50 years, there just weren't that many deep divisions between the Democratic and Republican parties. They weren't that ideologically divided. And increasingly over the last 50 years, they've become more ideologically divided. Some of that has to do with aspects of our political system, like partisan gerrymandering, the role of money in politics. But some of it simply has to do with the parties realigning along ideological lines, which throughout American history, it's surprising, but it just was not always the case. In the 1950s, political scientists were very unhappy that there was very little ideological difference between the Democratic and Republican parties. Today, obviously, there are extraordinary differences. If you go back 50 years again, 50 years to the 1968 election, most voters who voted for Richard Nixon did not have particularly negative views of Hubert Humphrey, whereas today most voters see the other party as an existential threat to the country. That's unfortunate, and it's due to deeply rooted factors that are very difficult to overcome. Media changes are also a big part of that. People only search out media that basically agrees with them, and they become increasingly rooted in their partisan views. Another important factor is that the parties have increasingly become centered on points of identity. And people feel very strongly about identity, whether it's race or religion or ethnicity. And the parties didn't used to be aligned that way. And now increasingly they are, which again enables people to think of the other side as an existential threat. So this is just a function of a larger polarization in politics. But you're exactly right. It's not going to make most people think of the court as a non-political institution.
¿Cree que esa afirmación es correcta porque en los últimos 30 años las cosas han ido polarizando en estos interrogatorios y en la Corte Suprema nos dice que, por ejemplo, la juez Ginsburg solo tuvo 3 votos en contra de la elección de 1986, también se hizo de una manera unánime, entonces sí se ha visto cómo esta polarización ha generado una gran división dentro de los jueces, hay una división ideológica bastante profunda que se ha incentivado en los últimos 50 años y tiene que ver también con el dinero en la política y con los partidos alineándose con ciertas ideologías. También los politólogos nos decía que hace 50 años estaban descontentos porque había poca diferencia entre el Partido Democrático y Republicano en cuanto a sus ideologías y ahora hay muchas diferencias. Nos decía que en la elección de Richard Nixon en 1968 no necesariamente se odiaba a Hubert Humphrey y pues nos dice que ahora esa división se ve reflejada también en los medios de comunicación de cómo encasillan a uno y otro partido y nos dice que otro factor bastante importante está centrado en la identidad, en la religión, en las etnias. Los partidos no se alineaban con de esta manera y ahora sí, entonces las personas se pueden sentir amenazadas con un partido u otro y eso ha incentivado esta polarización que por supuesto las personas ven reflejado en la Corte Suprema. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Michael Klarman, for your time in W Radio. It's been a pleasure talking to you, discussing about this.
Thank you very much for having me. Have a good day.